الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد, we praise Allah تبارك وتعالى, and that is sufficient. And we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the servants whom He has chosen. We continue in our discussion in Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 181. It says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لقد سمع الله قول الذين قالوا إن الله فقير ونحن أغنياء سنكتب ما قالوا وقتلهم الأنبياء بغير حق ونقول ذوقوا عذاب الحريق ذلك بما قدمت أيديكم وأن الله ليس بظلام للعبيد. Can you read the English, sir?
Indeed, Allah has heard the statement of the Jews, who say, excluding Allah the supporter of the marriage, we shall report what they have said in the killing of the prophet and destiny. But we shall say, in the torment of the burning fire. This is because that evil which your hands have sent before you, and certainly Allah is never unjust to his slaves.
Beautiful. Now, many people, before I read the statements of the Shaykh, question, how come the Muslims consider the Jews to be kuffar? And some of them say, well, you know, I've met Jewish people, they don't worship, you know, other gods. They don't have, like, for example, the Christians have Jesus, even though a denomination among them worship Al-Uzayr, and they said that Al-Uzayr is Ibn Allah, just as the Nasara said Isa Ibn Allah. But you will not find this to be the popular belief system among the Jews. So the question comes, why are they kuffar? In what aspect did they disbelieve in Allah? Now of course, rejecting the Prophet Muhammad and rejecting the Quran constitutes disbelief. No difference of opinion concerning that. But in terms of their belief in Allah, if someone were to say, the Jews believe just like the Muslims, they have the same belief concerning Allah, we will turn around and say, no. And then we can quote to them, we can ask them first, do these Jews believe in the Old Testament? Do they believe in the Old Testament? If they say they believe in the Old Testament, then you quote to them Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. This is one of the easiest references to remember. Genesis, there's a Hyundai car, now the new one's called Genesis. Trying to make it easier to remember. Chapter 2, verse 2. Okay, 2-2. It says in the Bible, amazing stuff. It says that after, they call him Jehovah, whatever, God, created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, He then rested on the seventh, and He was refreshed from all the work which He had done. So, from the Jewish belief, God got tired after creating the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and so He had to rest on the seventh. Wild stuff. So once they say that, we say this is not the Allah which we believe in. We and the Jews don't agree about this God. If your God got tired, what did Allah say concerning Himself in the Quran regarding this very subject matter? Who knows the reference? You should know the reference. Even though they may argue, they say that slumberness and sleepy, and we're not denying that. But there's an ayah which is specifically refuting this very verse in the Bible. Maya jama'a, maya people of da'wah, the people of da'wah. Does anyone or everyone know Surah Qaf? Wal Qur'an al Majid? Then you know the words, the end of the ayah? وَأُزِبَتِ الْجَنَّةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ غَيْرَ بَعِيدٍ هَذَا مَا تُوَعَدُونَ لِكُلِّ أَوَّابٍ حَفِيظٍ. Then continues, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. And verily we have created the heavens and the earth and whatever is between them in 6 days, and no fatigue nor tiredness touched us. So Allah told us in the Quran that He doesn't get tired, so He needs the seventh day to rest, as the Jews claim in their Old Testament. That's one element of refutation. Another element of refutation is that you ask the Jew, does God become regretful? Does God do something? Does He do something which He later on regrets? And when does someone regret something? Except when they do something which they were not supposed to do. Which really means they don't know the unseen. Another easy reference, Genesis chapter 6, verse 6. You following me? Earlier was Genesis what? Now, 6:6. It said that, and God repented from what He had done, from creating Adam, and it grieved Him to His heart. That God repented from created Adam, and it grieved Him to His heart. He realized that creating Adam wasn't the greatest idea, because Adam sinned and all these problems. Ajib, these people's jur'ah, their carelessness concerning Allah. They say anything and everything. God is going to regret creating Adam. It grieved Him to His heart. God grieving to His heart. Ajib. These are the Jews. So in case someone says, well, I agree with you. You don't agree with the Christians, but you and the Jews seem to be believing in the same God. Say, no. Then you quote Genesis 2:2, Genesis 6:6, and then this ayah here. Or of course you begin with the ayah, then you quote the Bible, because the Quran is superior. Now Allah said, He has heard the statement of those who said, Allah is poor and we are rich. Ajib. That's another ajib statement. These semen, sperm beings are telling the one who made them from nothing, or from clay, or from water, worthless, alaykum salam, that he is poor and we are rich. These are the Jews. Let's see what Shaykh Abdurrahman Nasir al-Sa'di has to say in commenting on these wicked creatures. يخبر تعالى عن قول هؤلاء المتمردين الذين قالوا أقبح المقال وأشنعها وأسمجها. Allah informs us about the statement of these transgressors, alaykum salam, these transgressors who have said the most hideous of statements, the most ugly and the most stupid. فأخبر أنه قد سمع ما قالوا. So Allah informed us that He had heard what they said. وأنه سيكتبه ويحفظه مع أفعالهم الشنيعة وهو قتلهم الأنبياء الناصحين. And that Allah will record that and will keep record of it along with their other crimes, such as killing the prophets without a just cause. وَأَنَّهُ سَيُعَاقِبُهُمْ, as the prophets which were advisors, they were trying to advise them. وَأَنَّهُ سَيُعَاقِبُهُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ أَشَدُّ الْعُقُوبَ, and that Allah will punish them concerning that, the most severe of punishments. وَأَنَّهُ يُقَالُ لَهُمْ بَدَلَ قَوْلِهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنَ أَغْنِيَاءُ ذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ, and that it will be said to them in retaliation for their statement that Allah is poor and we are rich, it will be said to them in retaliation, taste the torment of the burning fire. This for that. المحرق النافذ من البدن إلى الأفئدة. What does that mean? You all know Surah ويل لكل همزة لمزة. That it says at the end, التي تطلع على الأفئدة. طيب, here the Shaykh used the same statement. What does that mean? When we say التي تطلع على الأفئدة, who can translate that to English? Ya people of da'wah. إِنَّا عَلَيْهِ مُقْصَدًا بِعَمَدٍ وَمَدَّدًا الَّذِي تَطَّلِعُ عَلَى الْأَفْئِدَةِ. What does it mean? Try to analyze the wording, the terminology. Did you learn with Dr. Yahya الَّذِي وَالَّذِي? Did you know these pronouns or you didn't?
Not yet.
الَّذِي means the one that. Like you say, السيارة التي. be which is? The one that is downstairs. You can either say which is downstairs or the one that is downstairs. Let's say which is. But here means the one that tattaliru. You know Surah As-Saffat? فَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ إِنِّي كَانَ لِي قَرِينٌ يَقُولُ أَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُصَدِّقِينَ عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ فَاطَّلَعَ فَرَآهُ فِي سَوَاءِ الْجَحِيمِ فَاطَّلَعَ Then he saw that he was in the bottom pit of the hellfire. اطَّلَعَ is to look and reach. To look. اطَّلَعَ to read something. حتى مطالعة الكتب. They say مطالعة الكتاب meaning to read through the book closely. To read closely. الذي تطلع, the one which looks closely or reaches, الأفئدة. فؤاد is usually used interchangeably with قلب. Even though there's a linguistic difference between them, which we will not elaborate on. So the fire is so severe that it will make it to the heart. It will not only burn the physical body, it will be so severe and powerful that it will go inside and it will burn a person's heart inside. الَّتِي تَطَّلِعُ عَلَى الْأَفْئِدَةِ إِنَّ عَلَيْهِ مُقْصَدَةِ It will be closed in on them with you know, chains and عَمَدْ with pillars keeping them inside Jahannam. عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ تَطَّلِعُ عَلَى الْأَفْئِدَةِ It's looking straight, it's reaching their hearts. This is al-tala. So here, the Shaykh said, al-muhriq al-nafidh min al-bayan ila al-abida. Min is which preposition? From. Ila? To. From. So from the body, min al-badan, from the body, ila al-abida, to the hearts. This is the hellfire, wa'iyadu billah. Wa anna azabahum laysa zulman min Allahi lahum. All this punishment is not a manifestation of Allah's oppression to them. No, not at all. فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ Rather, Allah is never to oppress His slaves. He is never to oppress His slaves. Have you noticed in the Quran, sometimes it says عِبَاد and sometimes it says عَبِيد. Does anyone know the difference between them? For example, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا This is at the end of Surah Al-Furqan. عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ Now in this one, ظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ It could have been ظَلَّامٍ لِلْعِبَادِ The scholars say عِبَاد is a description of the slaves of Allah whom He is pleased with. Yani the ones that believe in Allah. They are slaves of Allah and believe in Him. These are called Abid. As for Afwan, these are called Ibad with the Alif. As for Abid, that means all of the creatures which are enslaved to Allah, even though they may not believe in Him. Yani they are enslaved because they are the creation and they have no other option. So Ibad is used in the context of praising. When you see ibad, then you usually know that the ones speaking about are those who are on good terms with Allah. And when you see here abid, or you see abid, now it's speaking about everybody. The good and the bad. Ma'in? So now here, that's why they say, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعِبَادِ Because one will say, and this is how technical the Quran is, one will say, surely Allah will not wrong the servants which He loves. Right? But that may mean that He may wrong those whom He doesn't love. So Allah used Abid here to encompass everyone. Allah doesn't wrong anyone, whether they are on good terms with Him or on bad terms with Him. What I mean by that, meaning they don't believe in Him, they don't submit to Him, and they don't follow His commandments. So all of them are to be treated with justice. Never that Allah will wrong anyone. فَإِنَّهُ مُنَزَّلُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ He is free from doing that. He's above that. He's glorified above that. That He will wrong anyone. He doesn't need to wrong anyone. And in the Hadith Qudsi, يَا عِبَادِ إِنِّي ظَلَّمْتُ إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي وجعلته بينكم محرما فلا تظالموا. In a hadith Qudsi, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, O my slaves, I have made oppression forbidden upon myself, and I have made it forbidden amongst you, so do not wrong and oppress one another. Yani Allah could have not have done so. He could have made wrong oppression something which is His right, and we have no right to complain because He's Allah and we're the creatures. But subhanAllah, out of His mercy, He made it forbidden upon Himself, that Allah will never wrong anyone. Ajeeb. طيب. وإنما ذلك بما قدمت أيديهم من المخازي والمقازي والقبائح التي أوجبت استحقاقهم العذاب وحرمانهم الثواب. All of this then, the statement of theirs which they will hear, or the statements which they will hear, taste the burning fire, taste the torment of the burning fire, is due to what their own hands have earned of transgression and you know, reprehensible actions, which necessitated their punishment and their deprivation of reward. وقد ذكر المفسرون أن هذه الآية نزلت في قوم من اليهود تكلموا بذلك. And the Mufassirin, those who interpret the tafsir of the Quran, have said that this ayah was revealed concerning a group among the Jews who had said that statement. وذكر منهم فنحاس بن عزورة. The name of this individual who had made that statement, his name is فنحاس بن عزورة. We don't care about his name really. من رؤساء علماء اليهود في المدينة. He was among the leading rabbis of the Jews, the scholars of the Jews in Medina. And they mentioned the reference in the tafsir of Ibn Jarir. وَالدِّرِّ الْمَنْثُورِ وَالْعَجَائِبِ فِي بَيَانِ الْأَسْبَابِ لِإِبْنِ حَجَرِ الْعَسْقَلَانِ. وَأَنَّهُ لَمَّا سَمِعَ قَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. How did this ayah come about? How did this statement come about? When he heard the statement of Allah, who is it which will loan Allah a good loan? Now, when we hear this statement, does that mean that Allah needs a loan from us? Only a feeble-minded, retarded, you know, brainless person will understand from the ayah that Allah Azza wa Jalla is actually asking for a loan. That Allah doesn't have money, and you are going to give Allah something which He doesn't have. Only someone who's wicked. Maybe someone with good intention, that's fine. Maybe someone the first time they come across this, they misunderstand it. But someone who's not simple-minded, but is trying to deduce some evil meaning from that, then this is a wicked person without a doubt. And this is what happened here. So hear that statement. Who is it that will loan Allah a good loan? And the scholars say, why did Allah use this word? Allah is trying to show us and encourage us so that one will pay, so that one will give sadaqah. It's as if Allah is asking you for the loan. Why? You know that everything belongs to Allah. But this is a gentle speech that is being used as means of encouragement. Not that Allah Azza wa Jalla needs a loan, needless to say. And the other ayah, وَأَقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا, and give Allah a good loan. قَالَ عَلَى وَجِّ التَّكَبُّرُ وَالتَّجَرْهُمْ هَذِهِ الْمَقَالَ قَبَّحَ اللَّهُ. So this man, when he heard these ayat, said what he said, that Allah is poor and we are rich, in the state of arrogance, in a state of pridefulness, may Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, humiliate him. فَذَكَرَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. So Allah mentioned what that man had said. وَأَخْبَرَ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِبِدَعٍ مِنْ شَنَائِعِهِمْ. And Allah informed us that this is not something new concerning the reprehensible actions of the Jews. Yani for a Jew to come and say that Allah is poor and we are rich, it's not the first time that they have done something wild and outrageous like this. In fact, this is their quality. The Jews are known for doing the most reprehensible actions among the nations. Who else told Musa, we will not believe until we see Allah right in front of us? Hatta nara Allah jahra. We want to see Allah right here. Bring Allah. Who else said, you and your God to Musa, you go fight. We would be right here sitting. When they were told to enter into this qarya, and the people in the qarya were strong, and they were cowards, they couldn't fight them. So they said, you, idhab anta wa rabbuka qatila inna hauna qa'idun. You and your Lord go fight, we will wait for you right over here. Who but the Jews? Who but the Jews, after Allah saved them from Fir'aun and the humiliating punishment He was inflicting upon them, when they crossed over to the other side, I believe it was the Red Sea, if I'm not mistaken, or whichever one, and they came across people that were worshipping an idol, they said, give us a God like they have a God. They see some people worship an idol, they said to Musa, we want a God like them. Give us a God like them. And sure enough, when he went to meet Allah Azza wa Jal, and for Allah to give him the Torah, in his absence, As-Samiri, you know, they created and they formed this calf, and they worshipped it. And Musa came back and found them worshiping a calf, which used to make sound every time the wind, they put a hole in the mouth and a hole in the back. And every time the wind will go through this calf, it will make a sound. You know, this is normal. When you grab anything that has two ends, even like get a, you know, the aluminum foil tube, put it on your ear, and you will hear the ocean. And you'll hear some different sounds. So every time they said, oh, this must be God. This sound, oh, this must be God. And then Musa told them, do you not see that this thing doesn't speak, doesn't do anything? So of course he threw it in the Yam and the water and Nasab Nasfan. They destroyed it. These are the Jews, man, and they continue until today. Among the most wicked of creatures, the most evil people are the Jews, without a doubt. You look at all the chaos they're causing in the world. Every calamity you will find that the Jews have some hand in it. Somewhere, somehow, they're involved in some sort of corruption in the world. They run the Hollywood, and they run the media, and they run the video games world. They run the pornography world. They run the Playboy. Everything is by the Jews. And who are the first targets? You and I, the Muslims. So anytime we give up and surrender to this bombardment, then we are in fact aiding the Jews against the Muslims. Every time a Muslim young man walks down the street thinking he's 50 halalas, 50 cents, or Tupac, or one of these crazy rappers, he is in fact propagating and advertising for free for the Jews in the lands of the Muslims. Today I was walking back from Salat al-Isha, or was it Maghrib? It was Maghrib. From the masjid to my house, and there's this coffee shop. I seen some local people here, which the least I wanted to do was knock them all out. Punk! You know the punks? You know the one who looks like a chicken? He has his hair shaved, and he has a long, you know, I don't know what you want to call it. And wearing these tight jeans that a woman is too embarrassed to wear because they're too tight. And he has these white boots, white leather boots in Saudi Arabia, in Jeddah. You know where these, man, I don't care what, how cold it gets, these are not the shoes for the kingdom, right? You wear these in Moscow or some very cold country. And four or five of them, wallahi, they look like monkeys in the shapes of human beings. Mamsukhin, as they say. And you look at them, they're normal men. They walk into the place, they're no English, no French, nothing. Local Saudi ghetto dialect.
Shabab.
Kebab. Kebab, don't say shabab. These are kebab. And you just want to grab them one by one, say, excuse me for a second. Bow! That's what you get for looking like this. When you know what you're doing right now, of course, that's not dawah. I'm telling you how you feel. How you feel is one thing. How you act is a whole other thing. Of course, if given the chance to speak to them, had they not entered already, you will say, why have you done this to yourself? And then you give them dawah. But the way you feel, in terms of anger, in terms of, you feel this is betrayal to the Muslims. Betrayal to the Muslims. What is this, man? What is this appearance of yours? Reprehensible appearance. You don't want to wear it, though? Fine. Let's say you don't like wearing thobes, fine, even though this is your cultural dress, which you really shouldn't leave, right? If you're a foreigner, expatriate here, and you're not used to wearing thobes, you say that's your business. But if you're a local here, it doesn't make any sense that you abandon that dress code, because now you're going against your own people. Yeah, and wear something that is acceptable. But looking like this, wallah, is unacceptable. These are now, these people don't realize, these are the the victims of the Jewish organization, the Sahuniyya, the Zionists. They are actually doing them a huge favor. Big advertisement for free. They don't have to do anything. They do all this through a satellite, this thing, and we receive and then we propagate for free. So we have to be very careful. All these media, the media means right now, and the access that it has is a double-edged sword. Very often it misleads rather than guides. Very few are those who actually are watching Islamic channels that they are benefiting from. The majority, they're being brainwashed slowly but surely until they become, you know, foreign to Islam and foreign to the teachings of Islam. So we have to be careful. These are the Jews, just in case you didn't know, because some people think they're nice guys. I don't think so. بَلْ قَدْ سَبَقَ لَهُمْ مِنَ الشَّنَائِعِ مَا هُوَ نَظِيرُ ذَلِكَ وَهُوَ قَتْلُهُمْ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ أو الْأَنْبِيَاءِ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ. Rather, this is not an innovation. This is nothing new for the Jews. They have pre-existing actions or events which are even more reprehensible, killing the prophets. Yani someone whom Allah chose to deliver the message to the people and guide them from the darkness to the light, they kill him. Talking about crime and murder, this is amongst the worst. It's one thing when you kill a bum in the street, and it's another thing when you kill, you know, a prophet which Allah chose. And these are not the same. The Jews would kill the prophets of Allah. And they try to do the same thing to Jesus, right? But Allah saved him. Allah saved Jesus from the plot of the Jews. But رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. Allah raised him up unto himself, and Jesus remains alive. Otherwise, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to crucify him. And they crucified someone else. They never had access to him. هذا القيد يراد به أنهم تجرؤوا على قتلهم مع علمهم بشناعته لا جهلا وضلالا بل تمردا وعنادا. Why did Allah say they killed the prophets without a just cause? This addition was made just so the people will know that they did this willingly. Not that they were ignorant or they were misguided, no. They killed them out of stubbornness and out of, you know, insistence on harming the prophets of Allah. Because maybe they killed them, they say they didn't know any better. They were ignorant. Or maybe they just, you know, they made a mistake. No. They killed them deliberately. It was plot. They were plotting to kill the prophets of Allah. So Allah added that, بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ, just so the people will know what is the context. But of course we do know that there is a group of the Jews at the time of Musa who are not like that. Now when we speak here, we're speaking about the general condition of the Jews. There's always a denomination amongst them who were believers, who we consider our brothers in faith. Those who truly followed Musa. Not those who gave Musa a hard time, but those who truly followed Musa and they were believers in the oneness of Allah and the prophethood of Musa, these are our brothers in faith. The same ones, those who followed the prophets before, are our brothers in faith. Today, after the advent of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's no brother in faith. There's no one on earth who's your brother in faith, or a brother in humanity. Even that, because you know we used to, and I used to make that mistake, and then alhamdulillah some of the brothers rectified my condition. I used to say, you know, out of maybe wisdom and da'wah, say call them brothers in humanity. Say even that, you don't call that. You don't call the kafir, he's a brother in humanity. You don't call him brother, period. You don't call him brother, not in humanity, not in faith, not in anything else. Unless he's your brother, as in he's your mother's son, then you have to call him a brother because he's your blood brother. But any other term, we don't say our Hindu brother has a question. No. There's a Hindu individual who has a question. Christian person. Christian, a Hindu person. Buddha. Hindu brother, Christian brother? No, Habib. Fair enough?
He's the brother of Islam.
What do you mean, brother in Islam?
No, this is very commonly used.
To the kuffar?
No.
To the Muslims?
Yeah,
I'm speaking about the kuffar.
Okay, sorry.
No, and a Muslim, you don't even have to add in Islam. He's my brother.
That's
right. Hey, no, we're all brothers. I'm speaking about the kuffar.
Okay,
yes, sir. Barakallahu feekum. Tayyib. Now, ayah 183. الذين قالوا إن الله عهد إلينا ألا نؤمن لرسول حتى يأتينا بقربان تأكله النار قل قد جاءكم رسل من قبلي بالبينات وبالذي قلتم فلما قتلتموهم إن كنتم صادقين فإن كذبوك فقد كذب رسل من قبلك جاءوا بالبينات والزبر والكتاب المنير يا جزير read but loudly الله يرضى عليك 183-184 loudly
those who said verily Allah has taken a promise not to believe in any messenger unless he brings to us an offspring which requires other than war say verily there came to you messenger before me with clear signs even with what you speak of why then did you kill them if you are truthful
the next ayah
then if they reject you so are messengers rejected before you who came in al-bayyinat and the scripture and the book of enlightenment
بارك الله فيك يقول الشيخ رحمه الله يخبر تعالى عن حال هؤلاء المفترين القائلين إن الله عهد إلينا عفوا أي تقدم إلينا وأوصى ألا نؤمن لرسول حتى يأتينا بقربان تأكله النار let me get it from here طيب The Shaykh said, Allah informed us about those forgers and those who came up with this allegation that Allah Azza wa Jal had taken a promise that they should not believe in any messenger unless he brings to them an offering which the fire consumes. So the Shaykh said, فَجَمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْكَذِبْ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَحَصْرِ آيَةِ الرُّسُلْ بِمَا قَلُوا So they brought a relation between two things. First, lying against Allah. Second, confining the sign which the Prophet brings to what they want. First, they said Allah took a promise from us. Allah didn't do that. Second, they limited what they will accept. They limited the conditions with which they accept the messenger. What is that? He must bring an offering which is consumed by the fire. But Allah didn't tell him that. Nor did Allah take the promise. So two crimes. First, they lied against Allah that Allah told us that. And Allah didn't tell him that. Second, now they limited any prophet who comes to them who doesn't bring this. They say, no, we don't have to believe in you. Because Allah told us that you must bring an offering which the fire consumes. And that's never the case. Ajeeb. بِمَا قَلُوا مِنْ هَذَا الْأُفْكِ الْمُبِينِ Because of this great lie which they have brought about. وَأَنَّهُمْ إِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِرَسُولٍ لَمْ يَأْتِهِمْ بِقُرْبَانٍ تَأْكُلُهُ النَّارِ فَهُمْ فِي ذَلِكَ مُطِيعُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ مُلْتَزِمُونَ عَهْدِ عجيب And look how they twisted it now. So now any prophet who comes to them, or a messenger who comes to them, and he doesn't bring with them an offering which the fire consumes or devours, they will reject him and they will claim, we are obeying Allah. By rejecting you, we are obeying Allah because Allah told us that we don't have to believe in anyone unless he brings this offering. You see the twist? Hajib. Yani they lied against Allah, they placed the condition, and now every time a prophet comes to them whom they're supposed to accept, they will reject him and they will claim that by rejecting him we're obeying God. Because God told us that we shouldn't accept you unless you bring an offering which the fire devours. Even though they know that Allah never made that promise to them. So they brought a relation between these two crimes. وَقَدْ عُلِمَ أَنَّ كُلَّ رَسُولٍ يُرْسِلُهُ اللَّهُ يُؤَيِّدُهُ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ وَالْبَرَاهِينَ مَا عَلَى مِثْلِهِ أَمَلَ الْبَشَرِ And it has been known, it is known to everyone that no messenger Allah sends except that He gives him of the proofs and the miraculous signs that which people believe in, that which is sufficient for the people to believe in. وَلَمْ يَقْصُرْهَا عَلَى مَا قَالُوا ولم يقصروا على ما قالوه مع هذا فقد قالوا إفكا لم يلتزموه وباطلا لم يعملوا به with that they have said a lie they fabricated a lie which they did not adhere to and falsehood which they did not act upon ولهذا أمر الله رسولا أن يقول لهم this is why Allah told the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم to say it to them بل قد جاءكم رسل من قبل بالبينات nay but messengers have come before me with the bayinat, with the clear signs, the clear evidences, the clear proofs, الدالات على صدقهم, which indicate their truthfulness, وبالذي قلتم, and they actually brought an offering which the fire devoured. Yeah, and even though Allah did not make that promise with them, but because they made that claim, Allah sent messengers with that claim, with the same thing which they claimed was a promise with Allah. And still, did they believe? No. Which means that crime, that initial statement, was only looking for reasons to disbelieve. Not that they were really sincere. فَلِمَا قَتَلْتُمُوهُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ بِأَنْ أَتَاكُمْ بِقُرْبَانِ تَأْكُلُونَ. So then, the messengers came to you with an offering, which the fire consumed. Then why did you kill them, if you were truthful? أي في دعواكم الإيمان برسول يأتيكم بقربان تأكل النار فقد تبين بهذا كذبهم وعنادهم وتناقضهم. So why did you kill them? And why did you kill them if you're truthful? And you claim that you believe, and you claim that you're only looking for an offering which the sun, which the fire devours. So it became clear and manifest their lie, their stubbornness, and their contradicting condition and statements, the contradictions which they have brought about. ثم سلى رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now that Allah consoled the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, tried to ease things for him. So he said to him, فإن كذبوك فقد كذب رسل من قبلك. If they belie you, if they deny you, if they reject you, then other messengers who came before you were also denied and rejected and belied. أي هذه عادة الظالمين ودأبهم الكفر بالله وتكذيب رسل الله. This is the characteristic, this is the condition of the wrongdoers and the oppressors, that they disbelieve in Allah and that they belie the messengers of Allah. وليس تكذيبهم لرسل الله عن قصور بما أتوا به أو عدم تبين حجة. And their denial, their rejection of the messengers is not because of any shortcoming on behalf of the messenger, or because he didn't bring enough proof, he wasn't able to establish the proof against them. No. بل قد جاءوا بالبينات. Nay, but the messengers brought with them بينة. بينة, أبانا, يبينوا. And among the tablighi jama'at, they call it bayan. You've heard the word bayan? Why do they call it bayan? Because it made things clear. Even though very often it's not bayan, it's dalal. It's misguidance, disguised in a lovely term called bayan. Why am I saying this? Because from what I've experienced, unless they have changed, the one who's giving you bayan needs a bayan. The one speaking, he himself needs to learn the deen from scratch. All he does is quote fabricated narrations which, you know, the elders gave them, and the elders got them from Fadail A'mal or Fadail Sadaqat or Tablighi Nisab or whatever the books which they use. And these books are full of nonsense, full of lies, aqidah of the Ash'arites and the Maturidites. It's not the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So the Jama'ah Tabligh, Zamla Khair, يعني they're doing a lot of effort for da'wah, but they need to sit at home and leave alone this 3 days and 40 days and 4 months and all these innovative number of days which they came up with, and they need to abandon the six pillars of their da'wah, among them these days. يعني they say, if you give da'wah without confining yourself to 3, 4 months, you're nothing, man. Ish, what is this da'wah? And they go around the world giving da'wah, and if you speak to them, they will tell you, I'm jahil, I'm ignorant. They will not claim, they tell you, I know. Say that, how are you giving da'wah when you're a jahil? And Allah said to the Prophet ﷺ, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِ. Say to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, this is my way, this is my path, I call to Allah upon knowledge, I and those who follow me. You want to give da'wah, you better learn the basics. Don't have the basics, sit down at home. Give out a pamphlet, give out a something. But you go tell people to give, you know, salah. You go knock on the door, brother, come to the masjid, do salah. Right. What if he asks you a question about Allah, about tawheed? The only thing they know is Allah created the heavens and the earth. Allah is everywhere. Allah madri ish. All this is a bala. All this is falsehood. This is not enough. It's not enough. So before you give da'wah, you must learn. Tell them, come learn. Their elders scare them of the people of knowledge. They warn them against the people of knowledge. And the Tablighi Jamaat are among the main reasons behind the division of the Ummah. And today, last night or yesterday, that was exemplified. You know, the Sunnah is whenever there's rain or some condition which makes it difficult for the people to come to the masjid, you do jama'ah. You pray Dhuhr and Asr together or Maghrib and Isha together. This is in the Sunnah. Ibn Abbas and Bukhari. In Bukhari, he said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam combined the salawat without rain, without fear, without any reason. It was said to him, why did he do that? He said, he did not want to make things difficult upon his ummah. So the ulama understand from this hadith that any time there may be hardship, there may be genuine hardship, you are allowed to combine the prayers. Not as a habit, but out of necessity. Now, yesterday when I walked to the masjid for Salatul Dhuhr, I can't take my car. Because if I take my car, I may never make it back home. The water is high. And where I'm living, the place where I'm parked, alhamdulillah, is somewhat elevated. So I'm protected. I don't want to move my car. Because if I move my car, I may not find a parking spot. Then I have to park somewhere where the water may take my car away. None of you wants to do that to his car. I had to walk. I'm walking and the water is up to my ankles. Water that is mixed with what? Sewage. Of course, as soon as I made it to the masjid, I went to the wudu area, I washed my feet and my pants, the bottom of my pants, just in case some drops came from while walking from the shoes. You know, you do what is necessary. But this is a difficult condition. So, and I thought no one would do this. Alhamdulillah, the imam who led us in salah had fiqh. When he finished the salat of dhuhr, he said, ya jama'ah, there's a fatwa from Sheikh bin Baz rahimahullah, and just generally speaking, before he did that, he's asked, he said, did you find any hardship in coming to the masjid? And most of the people said, yes. Yes, it was difficult to come to the masjid. Either people came in the car and they parked on the sidewalk, and he jumped straight from his car to the sidewalk, and the street was crowded with cars, or people had to walk in this field. So yes, we had hardship. He said, it's a sunnah now to do jama'ah. It's a sunnah to do what? To do jama'ah. So I was the one who called the adhan, alhamdulillah. He said, call the iqamah. Who are the ones who left? Tablighi Jama'at. The only people in the masjid who left? In the middle. As soon as we said, call the second iqamah, we got up. This is the wickedness and the filth of this madhabism and this blind following. Got up and abandoned the jama'ah of the Muslims and went outside. And Allah knows what they said about us. Only Allah knows what kind of things go around about these Wahhabis who are praying jama'ah, who are doing jama'ah in the masjid. Now, this is Islamically rejected under any situation or circumstance. It's in Islam, even if you believe what we did was wrong, what are you supposed to do? Pray with us nafila. If you truly believe that this is not valid Islamically, in order not to divide the ranks of the Muslims, you be quiet, you stand the salah and you intend the nafila. Nafila. Pray. And then later on at Asr time, pray Asr in another masjid, in the same masjid, that's your business. You don't get up and leave. The Prophet ﷺ came into the masjid, he saw two men sitting down. He said, why aren't you praying? They said, we prayed at home, in our tents. He said, if you come to the masjid, pray again. This idea of people doing salah and you sitting is not allowed in Islam. Just because, and you know how he began his statement? Alastuma muslimain? Are you not Muslims? Are you not Muslims? Yani Islam means you don't abandon the ranks of the Muslims. But these people don't care about that. They don't care about that. They take Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah as everything in their lives. Hadith in Bukhari, the Shaykh explained the Hadith in Bukhari. No, that makes no difference. So they abandoned the rights of the Muslims and they went outside, and Allah knows what they did during Asr time. Why? This is the consequence of Jama'at. Who are the ones who left? Tablighis. The rest of the brothers who also formed Jama'at but are more flexible, they remained. And the people, one of the brothers, one of the youngsters told me, look man, I don't know what I was doing. I didn't intend to pray Asr. I seen the people pray, I prayed. So Jazakallah khair. This is fiqh. This is a young boy. He seen the people praying. He just prayed with them. He didn't know that he should intend Salatul Asr. So I'm saying this so you will know that this idea of accepting the division of the Muslims is unacceptable. And allowing us to be Jama'at Kada, Jama'at Kada, Jama'at Kada is also unacceptable. Particularly when this Jama'at does not adhere strictly to the Quran and the Sunnah according to the understanding of the righteous predecessors. Because you have Ibn Abbas joining the prayers, the Sahaba joining the prayers and combining them at the times of need, and now these guys come after all these years with all the hardship, they say no. And they abandon the ranks of the Muslims, unacceptable behavior. And we, you know, they will see, they think that they're doing good. But Allah Azza wa Jal will show them the consequences, unless Allah pardons them. This is Islamically haram. And this shows their ignorance. And if you're ignorant and you are the leader of the Jama'ah, and you're that ignorant, you should not be giving any da'wah. That's my point. If they claim, well, I don't know, I'm a blind follower. I don't understand fiqh. Okay, Imam Hanifa said, I follow him. The ulama say, al-muqallid jahil. Even if he's a alim, if he says, I'm a muqallid, I'm a blind follower of someone, they call him jahil. He's an ignorant person. Why? He doesn't have the means to look into the evidences and differ. His alim said, he does. This is other than al-muttabir, the follower. Meaning you follow an imam based on understanding the text. And of course the third level is mujtahid, one who doesn't need neither. He has enough knowledge to look into the evidences and deduce the ruling on his own. So they are muqallidun. They are blind followers, which the ulama make it synonymous with juhal, ignorant. If you're ignorant, Habibi, don't give da'wah. Don't be going around giving da'wah. That's what they need to understand. We wish them good. When we say this, we're not trying to further divide the ummah. We want to bring unity, but this unity doesn't happen while we have these misunderstandings of the deen. We wish for them to change their ways and abandon this blind following and abandon their khuruj and their innovation and come to the sunnah, their brothers in Islam at the end of the day. We wish for them, well, we wish for ourselves, without a doubt. It's not about hatred and enmity, but the truth is more beloved and dear and dearer to us than anything else. So this is our way and this is our methodology of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, those who have followed the way of the righteous predecessors. Now, على كل حال, so Allah Azza wa Jalla consoled the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They جاءوا بالبينات أي الحجج العقلية والبراهين النقلية. The Prophet brought bayinat. Look how he explained bayinat. حجج عقلية, intellectual proof. Intellectual proof, وبراهين نقلية, and textual evidences. يعني the Rusul would refute the people with the revelation and with intellect. When the kuffar said to them, في نحن في شك, concerning Allah, he said, they said, we are في شك. قال لهم رسولهم, أفي الله شك فاطر السماوات والأرض. The messenger said to them, is there doubt? Are you really saying there's doubt concerning Allah, the creator and the originator of the heavens and the earth? This is here intellectual evidence. Yani when someone, an atheist, says, I don't believe in God, I say, listen man, come on bro. Oh, you cannot call him bro at this point, huh? Come on, how can you say that, you know, you came from nothing? Either you created yourself, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ, as Allah says in Surah Al-Tur. Were they created out of nothing, or did they create themselves? You have one of two options. Either you created yourself, you will say no, then you were created by nothing. Can nothing create something? Can nothing create something? No. So there's one third option. Allah created you. This is that intellectual. Intellectual. And of course there's a textual evidence as well. طيب. والزبر أي الكتب المزبورة المنزلة من السماء التي لا يمكن أن يأتي بها غير الرسل. Zubur are the scriptures. The Shaykh said they are the books which were sent down from the sky that no one can bring except the messengers. والكتاب المنير, and the book of enlightenment, للأحكام الشرعية وبيان ما اشتملت عليه من المحاسن العقلية. It illuminates in terms of the legislative rules and what it contains of the good and intellectual or rational teachings. ومنير أيضا للأخبار السابقة, and it illuminates also the truthful information. فإذا كان هذا عادتهم في عدم الإيمان بالرسل الذين هذا وصفهم فلا يحزنك أمرهم ولا يهمنك شأنهم. So then if this is their condition concerning their rejection of faith in the messengers, and this is their description, then do not grieve over them and do not be concerned with them. This is how Allah Azza wa Jal consoled the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If the people you're giving da'wah to, their past was not believing, they've always been kuffar, they've always been disbelievers, don't worry about them. Don't grieve over them. These people, there's no good in them. Then the next ayah, it's a very important ayah, and it's an excellent maw'idah, which is كله نفس ذائقة الموت. Every soul shall taste death. And we will leave that till not this coming Friday, the one after. One second. SubhanAllah, bihamdik, shallallahu la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa